This episode was brought to you by Nyx. Shop online at nyx.ca and use code REBEL10 for 10% off your order.
Hello, and welcome back to the Rebel Mama Hotline. We have a treat for you today because one of our favorite people is in studio with us.
Ladies and gentlemen, the wolf of King Street herself, Mariana Yordanova.
Oh, hello.
Am I saying it right?
You said it so good.
It's because I'm Eastern Bloc.
You know it, baby.
But before we get too carried away, because I know it's bubbling, mm-hmm. We get carried away easily. In case you don't know who she is, here's a little bio.
Mariana is an ex-banker turned realtor. She was born and raised in Bulgaria and credits her creativity, accent, and sense of humor to her Eastern European heritage.
You can jump in here anytime.
It sounds so funny listening to a bio about yourself that you actually wrote yourself.
No, babe, shut it. Let me finish. See, we knew this was going to happen. Okay. She approaches her clients and real estate without any air of artificiality, superiority, or intimidation.
That's true.
As a mover and shaker in social media, new development projects, and her citywide community of boss ladies and gents, Mariana has a healthy obsession with her 7-year-old Boston Terrier, Florence.
Very healthy obsession.
She works hard for her clients and always wants the best for them, their future, and their lifestyle. Having the ability to speak 5 languages and breaking language and cultural barriers is something she thrives on. Wolf Street is a full-service real estate team specializing in residential real estate sales in Toronto. If you've got real estate questions,
better call the wolf.
We didn't even...
That wasn't planned. The howling was not planned.
We just
knew that this was going to happen. And she also has babies.
Yes, oh my gosh. She does.
And she's a healthy obsession with those two.
I think I wrote that bio before having children, while I could actually speak properly and write properly, because I feel like...
Because she only mentioned her dog.
Yeah. We'll also
I love my dog.
Edit.
Sorry, my children.
She too has a healthy obsession with her 2 children.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Okay, so how do we all know each other? Why don't we start there? You two especially go way back. So why don't you tell us how you met Nikita and you guys can tell us your love story.
Oh, man.
It spans a long time.
Like, that's going to age us if we go back. But,
we're looking at like 20 years is what we're looking at here.
Faux hawk. Remember the faux hawk?
Oh, yes.
And the feather earrings. So this is how far back we go.
You're really dating yourselves now.
Yes.
I was just like, I have
a
vision of you.
Oh, my God, the feather earrings.
Right?
Oh, my God.
Your graduation. Mentor College.
Your sister did my makeup for prom
and
my
there.
Hair. Yeah. And you were there, of course. Yeah. You took me to my very first nightclub. Snuck me in.
Yes, that's the best story, though.
Yes.
So I love that you took her to her first nightclub. Because
I was your first. Such a special place in your heart. And
well, because nightlife runs through our blood. I mean, I think that's how we all met after, too. I don't remember exactly when I met you.
I remember when I met you. You were pregnant.
No, you would have met her before that.
No, you knew me before
that. I think I knew you before that. But like, I didn't think like I could talk to you. Like, you were so freaking cool. Like, you were just like...
I'm so tall.
I don't need anybody.
Yeah, I'm too tall to talk to.
Dancing sexy on some speaker deck.
I actually met you at Mel's office. Remember when Mel...
Oh, at Capture.
Oh, because she was working at Capture.
That's right.
Yeah, that makes sense. And you're close with Mel, too. So, yeah, mm-hmm. It's all the same crew.
I would have thought you would have met her in Mexico.
No.
No?
No. Were you in Mexico?
Yeah.
Yeah.
At the same time that we were?
Yeah.
2009 onwards, I think. Or 2008. Fuck, we're so old. Anyways.
We can swear on this?
Yay, yeah, you can do whatever you want. It's the Rebel Mama Hotline.
Okay,
so that's how we all know each other, very briefly. But even up until recently, Mariana has been involved in the sale of Nikita's very own home. Why don't you tell us about that, because that was pretty interesting.
That was the best. People say don't work with your friends, but I'm like, maybe you should get new friends.
Right.
I only love working with my friends.
We only work with friends.
The fucking best, because working, like, you have to spend so much time with the people that you're working with. And selling the house was no different, right? Like, we had to do all the prep stuff before, and we did the staging and like all that. You spend time. It was such a nice way to spend time with each other.
Totally. And you know what? I feel like we're so alike. So everything we were doing, like, I didn't even have to like tell you stuff sometimes. Like, I know what you're thinking. You know what I'm thinking. And we have the same sense of like urgency and focus. And like, I don't know. I thought it was so beautiful, man. Yes. It just like came together like this beautiful symphony of collaboration. And I agree with you. I mean, like in this job or career, sorry, it's not a job.
It's a lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle.
Definitely a lifestyle. Yeah.
Selling sunsets and yes. sunrises. Yes. But yeah, like I get to work with so many friends. And I think like a lot of people are like, sometimes people are like nervous about working with friends. They're like worried about their relationship and all that stuff. But I don't know, for us, like we've been able to separate ourselves from like, not separate yourselves from the friendship, but like be able to be professional and yeah. still get your
shit
done.
It's because you have a mutual respect for each other.
Yeah, totally.
Like, and contracts help.
Yeah, just like sure. I was gonna just so say, did you guys before. Have any serious conversations?
Like, totally. Like yeah. that's the thing. Like we could turn it on and off yeah. whenever it was necessary. And like, you know, the market hasn't been that easy in the last like I would say year and a half. Things are pretty choppy, changing constantly. And you know, to be able to navigate my friends through that time was like awesome. They trusted me. Like everything just runs smoothly.
Yeah, every time I was having a freak out, I could call her and be like, is this normal? What is happening? Yeah. And she could
she's
talk
like,
me down
She's like, has one baby over here, one yeah. baby on the boob, calling, like, you're on the
shut
phone.
Up,
she's
Nikita.
Like consoling you. She's like, don't worry.
Well, that's the best, actually. Mariana sold my house
yes.
and gave birth on the same fucking day.
It's amazing.
Send me a picture in a hospital gown with a thumbs
I
up.
I love it.
Hey, babe, we signed the offer. Just going to go pop out a baby now. Like literal thumbs up in a hospital gown.
I should have named my baby Mariah.
Maria?
Yeah, that would have been a really funny name.
You know
for
what?
A boy
it's
child.
Not Maria. If you're not is from the Junction, you have to. That's mm-hmm. how people differentiate if you're local in the mm-hmm. Junction or not.
Well, to be fair, it's like that's how it would be pronounced in like the English yeah. language, right? There's no H. Although
that's
the
what
English
I said.
Language,
I'm like, if you want me to say Mariah, throw an H at the end,
that's
and
what
I'd be
I'm
happy
saying.
To
but
avoid.
But the English language a lot of the time music. Doesn't make sense, though. So I get it.
The English language
maybe
makes
there's
no
somebody
sense.
Just made.
But
that
no,
up.
We had an amazing time. We brought another friend of ours in the mix too. We had Sarah McLean from Style and Staging House.
Those
she did our staging.
Did a great job, yes,
they did awesome. But that was you know another case of. Working with friends and yeah. we had it was
and
all women
each other
which was so fun yeah. like it was just a straight pussy party if you want to call it that.
Who wants to come to our pussy party?
I was like, what word can I come up with? And then pussy party came out of my mouth
and here we are.
And here we are.
Put it on a t-shirt.
Oh, yeah. Pee-pee.
But we had the best time and that was so great. That was how we spent the summer. We spent
oh my
the summer
gosh.
Together.
You know what?
My
it
house.
Was so awesome because I was so busy like getting your house prepped and working on it that I couldn't think about this giant belly that I was lugging around. Right. And then having my kid, 9.3 pounds.
Oh my God.
Right. It was like, well, no wonder I was lugging such a load. Right. But it really kept me like excited and like distracted. And it was such a nice time to spend with you. So special.
It was.
Didn't you the know? Baby deliver the check?
Yes, the baby delivered the check.
Guys, we're expanding the team.
Came to my house. He had it in his labor. Little baby death grip. It was very sweet.
Those clammy little yes.
holding it so tight.
He was.
Like, let go.
He was. Give me my money, baby.
Oh my gosh. Good times.
Okay, so before we infiltrate Mayor with a slew of real estate and real life questions.
Bring it.
Let's take a little commercial break, please.
This episode is brought to you by Knix. Knix is a pioneer in the leak-proof underwear category. They've set out to create garments that transform how you feel, whether it's their lightweight anti-chafing shorts, wireless bras that are sexy and supportive, or overnight period protection. They now offer a variety of products, both leak-proof and not.
In addition to their signature leak-proof underwear, they offer leak-proof pads, leak-proof swim options, leak-proof active, and leak-proof maternity options.
Shop Knix online at knix.ca, and don't forget to use code REBEL10 at checkout for 10% off.
We have some burning questions for you. Some are our own. Others were gathered from the hive, the Rebel Mama hive.
Nice.
First things first, though, what in the actual fuck is happening in the Toronto real estate market right now? Please paint a picture of what you're seeing.
Do I do this in like 20,000 words or like how much time do I have for this?
Diet version, baby.
Okay,
diet version.
Let's keep it
tight.
Tight. I mean, you guys probably like hear the news, you guys read the paper, whatever, look at Instagram. Things are definitely different than we've been conditioned for the past 10 years. Interest rates have been on the rise for a long period, over a year now, and it's really affected people's ability to purchase and to sell. So we're kind of stuck with a little bit of an interesting scenario where buyers want to buy, but they can't really qualify for what they want to buy. Prices have come down a bit, but not significantly enough to meet that new qualification of buyers. So we're a little bit in a stalemate. Like, listings are sitting a bit longer on the market. Definitely need a little extra like work and, you know, marketing and everything else. But to be honest with you, it's actually not so bad because a lot of the really not so good realtors are kind of fading away right now. Ooh. During the boom, had like,
yeah. It's like decluttering.
Yeah. Yes, totally. It's total like cleanup house.
Trim the fat.
70,000 agents.
That's how many agents in Toronto?
Right.
Only one that matters.
Hey.
Yeah. Better call the wolf.
We're just all about self-promotion around here.
But yeah, like a lot of these people that were like, oh, I'm just going to get my license and make a whole bunch of cash. Yeah. And, you know, you could literally take a picture with your iPhone, slap it on MLS and sell a property. Like, you know,
like
a monkey could do it. Right. Mm-hmm. So now it's like, now it's time for the pros.
Only the best survive.
Yeah, it's actually good, I think, because people definitely need to put in better work, respect their listings more, respect their clients. So even talking to other agents, like the conversation has become a bit better. Like everybody's basically doing their job better. So I think it's good for the consumer at the end. I mean, it's tough for people who are on variable mortgages. I think the expectation was not to have such rate increases, right? Like nobody would have left their mortgage on variable if they knew that they would be paying like 7-8%, right? Like nobody would have done that. So, I mean, huge lesson to all of us to learn about fluctuating markets. And again, quality. It's all about quality, baby. I'll say it time and time again. You know, quality over quantity. Always, whatever you buy, just buy something good that will always matter, will always be, you know, a good asset, right? So, with properties, like, oh my gosh, we see that all the time. The good properties always hold their value in any type of market. So
what happens next? What happens, like, A, do you think that they're going to raise the rates again? And B, what happens if they do? Like, do people just offload their properties like crazy and flood the market and it goes back to being a seller's market?
Okay, I'm going to be a little bit of
a
killjoy.
Or a buyer's market, rather?
Well, yeah, I'm going to be a little bit of a killjoy. Just remember, everything is temporary. This is part of a cycle.
But, shall pass.
You know, for example, right now we have 400% increase in foreclosures and
400% increase in foreclosures.
In foreclosures. So the past 2 weeks have been really bombarded with negative news in terms of like foreclosures, inventory. So the amount of listings out there has increased significantly. Right now, just to give you an example, we have over 4 months of inventory on the market. This much properties have not been for sale in over 25 years.
Wow.
So we 25 have like, years?
Yes.
Is so it people crazy. That are selling their investment properties or is it people that can't afford their mortgages? Like,
I think a bit of both. Mm. So investors are really stretched to the brink at this point. I think 40% of investors can't even break even on their mortgages. So people are definitely forced to sell. I dealt with a situation last week where somebody ended up leasing one of our lease properties because they sold their house with $350,000 loss. They bought it last year. Mortgage went from $4,000 a month to $8,000. And they're like, you know what? I can't live that life. You know, they're like, mentally, I can't do it. So they ended up walking away from the property. So we still haven't seen a huge influx of those, to be honest. I find like people will get rid of the Peloton, start shopping in No Frills.
Right.
You know, they will do certain adjustments in order to keep their property. But there's a level where it's just too much for some people. So,
well, if they raise the rates again, then
you know, this week everybody's saying that rates might not go up. I don't know what next week is going to bring.
Right.
But based on inflation numbers, inflation is down. Okay. I think all these bad news in the real estate mm-hmm. market is actually helping keep rates more stable.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Don't hold me. Don't.
But like keep them at 8%. Like, oh my God.
I mean,
did they get any higher? Like, Jesus. What's going to happen?
Well, they were like 16% back in the '90s. They can right. definitely yeah. get higher.
But what were prices of properties?
Right.
Right. All the boomers. I bought my house for $50,000.
I know.
Right. Like,
yeah, maybe millennials will actually get a chance at the market, at least if shit hits the fan.
I don't know. Like, I think there would definitely be a reduction in pricing. But to what extent? Because you guys know how much immigration we have every right. year as yeah. well, right? Like the immigration numbers are just crazy. And a lot of immigrants who come to this country come with lots of money ready to purchase properties.
Yeah, I feel like we have a different image of who's really coming here. Like right. yeah. it is people that have money to...
Most of the immigrants are very highly qualified, yeah. highly educated. Like when you think about it, how much a ticket costs.
Right.
Like
or
a lot
whole
of
family.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So the reality is a lot of these new immigrants come here, get the jobs, maybe rent for a year because they hate spending money on rent. Like a lot of immigrants have that mentality yeah. where like they want to own
you
a property.
Buy something.
Yes,
yeah.
exactly. So I think that's always going to keep our market pretty strong. I actually think in a couple of years, we're going to have a huge pressure again. The market's going to go crazy again because right now it's very like status quo. A lot of projects are not getting started. Mm-hmm. A lot of, you know, properties are not getting built. And with such a huge influx of immigration and not new homes being provided, right. guess what's going to happen again?
Right.
So my advice is if you can hold on to that property, try your best. And yeah, I don't think you'll regret it.
Pick up like a side gig or something, worst case.
Something, right?
Only fans. Yeah. Keep your homes in Toronto. With
keep
only
your
fans.
Feet looking good, everybody. You, like to, you might have to photograph
them. How else
them.
Do you afford this city? It's crazy expensive, man.
It is crazy
don't hate
expensive.
The player, hate the game.
No, trust me, we hate it all, okay?
What strategies, this is the interesting one, is mm-hmm. what strategies are you using to sell in this market? Like, what are you doing? Because you have to adjust your strategy all the time.
100%.
It's like never a dull moment in what you do.
Totally. I think you can't just use one approach or whatever worked before is not going to work now. You literally have to do like a multi-pronged attack. Like you have to do some things old school where you literally pick up the phone and call people and call agents. You also have to use the technology available to you. And I find a lot of agents are not familiar with how to market properties using social media.
Your
and
marketing is so fire.
Yeah, it's on.
Thank
it's
you.
On, I want to so buy like good. All the houses.
It's so good.
Guys, it's working, right?
Yeah, of course yeah, it's working.
I think you have to be so intentional with that stuff and you can't, you know, I think I have to unfollow a lot of realtors because I feel like my feed is getting inundated with people pointing at things. Mm. You have to keep it original and you have to be thoughtful. Like the amount of time it takes me to come up with like the song that I want to use. Yeah. Like, you know, it looks like when you see the whole thing, it looks like, oh my gosh, that's so
easy.
Right. But everything is intentional and, you know, marketing efforts have really like had to be like increased and you really have to... yeah, you have to do it all.
Well, and you're selling yourself too, right? It's your
totally.
Personality. It's who you are. So at the end of the day, regardless of what the market's like, however tough it is,
right.
it's your realtor is the person that you're going to trust to guide you through that process.
Right.
Yeah. And I think because you're so honest and authentic and like who you are and what you do.
That's it. And you know what? Like that's one thing I've realized. People that want to work with you will work with you. You attract the right,
yeah,
the
your
right customer,
will find
right?
You. Your yeah.
When you're authentic,
you.
Some people might be like, "Oh, that's not my cup of tea." That's fine. It's been 10 years in the business, and I don't really chase people. Like, I don't force. Like, you can't.
You're not for everybody.
No,
though. We're definitely not for
exactly.
everybody.
Exactly, and you know that's why when you work with people, it's yeah. just like, oh, I love this. We're like, we get excited about things.
Yeah.
We get inspired by each other. It's like, it's awesome, and yeah. the trust, obviously, especially now.
I keep thinking about all those people that bought properties out in like the boonies during the pandemic.
Meaford?
I know, because I'm like dying to live in the countryside for Meaford all those that don't know. The Meaford Muffs, it's coming.
But I think about them and I wonder about them. So I'm asking you because you're the expert.
Yeah, because there was a mass exodus.
Yeah,
totally.
What are those people's realities right now? Like,
or where
are those
people
places
go?
Holding their values that they bought? Like if you bought up in cottage country, I know a lot
or
of people bought.
Or even Hamilton and stuff.
Yes. Outside of the city or even as far as the country. Like people left the city.
Barry, yeah, people left in droves.
Barry they left in droves. Yeah. What are those people doing now?
I mean,
are
look,
they okay?
Yeah.
Is everyone in Barry okay?
You know what? Help? I think people really kind of moved way too fast. Like it was a bit of a knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah, they just got scared.
Right? And look, COVID was, I mean, we're still recovering from it. And like, I think nobody knew how long it was going to last. It was like, is this going to be forever?
I thought it was
going to
last like a couple of months.
Is this
going to
be your life?
And then it was like 3 years and you just didn't know.
I felt the urge to do something in COVID. Like I think we all felt uncomfortable.
Yes.
And when you're uncomfortable, you have a couple choices. You can like sit with it.
Yeah.
Or you can flee.
Right.
Escapism.
And I think a lot of people were like, and they left.
Totally.
And I was like, I am not making any life decisions under duress.
It depends for work too, because like if you were in the service industry or the restaurant industry and your livelihood was like literally shut down and you can't afford your Toronto pad, then you kind of gotta go.
I'm wondering more about the people that chose to leave for like a lifestyle change.
Yes.
Like the people that left because their lives and their livelihoods collapsed and that's where they could go. Like,
yeah, so a lot of people went to Prince Edward County.
Yes.
I think a lot of people thought they could be farmers and like do all these things. And I think they realized that that's not the lifestyle that actually is for them.
Right.
So speaking
of their properties holding value.
I mean, look, a lot of those places like Muskoka, like a lot of these, you know, places that really blew up during the pandemic are seeing like issues right now because some people bought it as a second property. What they did was they took equity out of their primary. Rates were so cheap, 2%. They borrowed against that property to buy another property. And now they're in a bit of a pickle trying to get rid of it, trying to sell it. Listings are sitting. So Toronto is experiencing a crunch. I mean, imagine outside of Toronto, like it's even worse. Brampton, really bad. I mean, not that Brampton is outside.
Is it GTA? Brampton is GTA still.
Yes.
Okay. But yeah, it's suburbs anyway.
But like they're seeing crazy declines in their property values. Mississauga's staying pretty strong.
Saga girls. 905.
Had to do it.
Did we forget to mention
you
that?
Had to
We're
do
all
it.
Saga girls.
We are all
like,
from
loud
Mississauga.
And proud, obviously, because we just
look
got
at
really
us now.
About it.
Yeah,
look
City
at
slickers.
Us now, exactly. Not that we did spend a lot of our friendship escaping to the city.
Oh, totally.
Saga shaped like, us, though.
In my green Ford Escort.
Oh my god. With the cigarette burns on the roof, because we kept trying to ash out the sunroof.
What about the tape? What about the taped side mirrors?
Oh
my dad,
my dad
was fixing everything with the duct tape, right? So handy.
So handy.
Oh, good times.
So much to learn from these parents of ours.
I know.
Should we switch gears?
Yes. Yeah.
So let's talk about more personal things. What is it like to work with your long-term partner / the father of your kids? How do you maintain a work-life
baby daddy
balance?
I couldn't do it.
With each other.
Honestly, guys, I think...
You guys are special.
I don't know. I have no idea. I think it either works really well or it's like really bad.
Right.
There's no other way.
There's no in between.
I mean, look, Freddie has been like in my life for like ever.
You guys were friends
before. I was there.
She
I
was there during
the
platonic
You watched Freddie in the friend zone and you watched him come out of the friend zone into the sexy zone.
Yep.
He's in the
all
daddy
of it.
Zone.
Yes, I've seen the whole thing play out in front of my eyes. And it's been beautiful.
It's been awesome. I mean, the thought of having to date right now, like,
oh my god,
terrifies me. So
we're gonna make it work.
Yeah, exactly. But I think honestly, we just work really well together. We're very different. You guys know that. You guys know us both, and you know,
it's a good
one
balance.
Is an extroverted introvert. The other one is an introverted extrovert.
Yeah,
and
guess which one Mare is.
And you know what? I don't know. We just do it. We don't even think about it.
You guys, that's good. That's like you and I though, Nikki, because sometimes people ask us to do you guys argue? And we haven't had an argument in the whole 10 years of our Rebel Mama career together because we just have discussions and we respect each other. Sometimes I don't even know if we disagree.
I don't think we ever really have.
But we
also don't live together, nor do we have an That's infant true. And a toddler.
But I think you guys, I think you guys could do it though.
We could.
I think you guys could raise kids.
We chew quietly.
Two Virgo women. Come on.
Yeah. It'd be a lot.
We'd run out of things to fucking clean.
We would. We totally would. Then we would just be like cocktail.
You know what? Freddie's a very patient man. And I think.
That's true. Shout out to Freddie.
Right.
God bless.
Love you, babe.
Patience.
We love you too, babe.
We also love you.
You have great hair, babe.
Yeah, amazing hair.
Now he has to listen to the podcast episode.
Yeah. Freddie, we threw you a lot of good compliments in the episode. You have to listen to it.
He deserves it. But we also separated our workloads in a way that caters to our personalities too. I deal with most of the listings. So I deal with the sellers. He deals with the buyers.
Mm. Okay, so you guys kind of figured
out. So we have we work together.
Yeah.
But we have our fields
right
as well.
And you have your, what you're
not
good at.
Butting up against each other at any point.
No.
You do socials.
You guys see Freddie on social media.
I love when he's makes a cameo.
I know, when he's in your stuff.
Right. He always tries to escape my stories, but
like when she follows him around, the paparazzi.
Tell us about this, Freddie. What do you like about this fixer-upper? And he's like, the quality is so good.
we're gonna bring that back. Kitchen. We took a little hiatus on Freddie's finds, but Freddie's Friday's finds. I can't even say it. But we're gonna come back to that because it's a different voice and people definitely enjoy his his execution of it too.
Their
right?
dynamic together is fun to watch.
Yeah, agreed.
Now we have a second child, guys, and it's absolutely unbelievable. It's so much harder than having one kid.
I know,
straight
babe.
Up. It's like a different world.
I know. That's why I chose the single life.
The single child life.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, that's why I chose. You hear about it, but. I'm just hoping that in a couple of years they just entertain each other and
they will. They'll fight to the death and it'll be, but that's how they entertain each other. You just have to put your earbuds in and be like, have fun, children.
Don't
call me if
there.
Anyone's bleeding.
Yeah.
Okay. So one question we had for you is, what does wellness mean to you? And are you finding time to take care of yourself these days? Because we know that's important, self-care, and we take care of each other very well. We mom each other all the time. We check in and make sure everybody's taking care of themselves.
Mm-hmm. So consider this your check-in.
So yeah, now we're going to mom
your girls. You girls
are taking care of yourself.
You guys are giving me a mental massage right now. I swear to God. You know what? I think being an older mom, you kind of have to take care of yourself. Not to discriminate against myself, but I think realizing that you need, I literally have, shout out to my pelvic floor specialist, Jen, I love you, massage therapist, all these important people, friends, community.
You make it a priority.
Definitely. Because even if I think about it oh my gosh, I need to be healthy for my kids. Even if that's the thought, right? I need to basically take care of my business, myself, all these things. So if I don't rely on these people, there's no way. So yes, definitely really good about wellness and taking care of myself. And, you guys know, growing up, a lot of times our moms haven't been, they've been so devoted to the family and so dedicated. And, sometimes you wish they would take better care of themselves sometimes and rest a bit.
So much,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, self-sacrifice. And that's been kind of the ideal for a mom, right? Mm-hmm. The martyr mom. Yeah. And
I love that women are taking it back now. You know what? It's about accepting help. And that was the thing that maybe our mothers couldn't do.
Right.
And that's part of that self-sacrifice. But I feel like now we're realizing you can't pour from an empty cup.
What
use am I to my family and all this if I can't take care of myself? And we're accepting the help and not feeling guilty about it.
Accepting it, demanding it,
yes.
Seeking it out.
Yes.
Paying for it, affording it.
That's it. That's exactly it.
That's a big part of it too. Women couldn't get access to a credit card until the mid-70s. they couldn't really be like, I really need a massage today. Let me just go and.
But even just having that, I have a chiro once a month. I refuse to give that up.
Same.
Because it keeps me going, keeps my body strong. So yeah.
Got to do it.
Yeah, totally. And you mentioned the affordability. So like, can I ask you guys a question?
Sure. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, you're not prepared for that. So guys had kids younger than me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you guys ever think like, oh, I should have.
She was younger than me too.
But I was really
She's
young.
A baby.
Yeah.
Do you guys ever think like, oh man, I should have had them later. Like, do you guys ever, because I feel like that's always a thought. Like for me, some days I'm like, I'm so tired. I'm like, oh, maybe I should have done this earlier. Like I would have had more energy. Right? Like,
it's different for everybody. But I was 33.
Do you guys ever question that decision? Like
sometimes I think of Nikita or anybody that's given birth like young, and it's like, it's kind of awesome because you have more energy, you get it out of the way. When they start going to school, you can get your life back and you're still so young. You can make a career move, whatever.
Yeah.
But sometimes life is just life, and like things work out and you make choices and you want to do things first or focus on, maybe you're not ready mentally or prepared, or I don't know. It just, for me, I was 33. It worked out good. I thought that was like a good middle
kind of. Yeah, mine was not planned. I think if I had Virgo planned it, I probably would have done it at 33. I feel like that's like a good,
it's like a
right
medium.
Down the middle.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I had no career.
Yeah.
Like I hadn't even had a chance to start a career. I was 25 when I got pregnant. I gave birth at 26.
Wow.
And I was done having kids before I was 30.
Right.
Like I'm 36 now. I have a 9 and a 7 year old.
Oh my God.
She's a young mama.
How does that feel?
Well, in 10 years when they go, like when they're fleeing the nest, like I'm going to be mid 40s.
Sick, bro.
I can have a whole other.
She can have a whole other life.
I could have a whole. I do, you know? So while I was not, you know, I wasn't financially prepared, so I did have to take on the lion's share.
Yeah, but you make it work, right?
But I also had the energy to do it.
Like, see, energy is a big part of it. Because I would say it when you're, once you start giving birth, like, and you can speak to this, once you're older.
Right.
Like, according
geriatric
to
pregnancy.
Geriatric pregnancy.
Once you're geriatric.
Once you're 40. AKA
I think
geriatric.
It's 35 plus, it's called geriatric.
Ridiculous. Yeah, that's bullshit. But like, you do, you get more tired in your 40s, straight up. Like, you just don't have the energy. You're depleted easier. Like, you can't rely on your body as much anymore.
You can drink all the green juice and, you know. No,
your
totally.
Like,
and do all the Pilates you want.
But I also feel like, I don't know, it forces me to be younger longer.
Totally.
Because I have to, right?
Totally. That's it true. Will
so,
keep you younger,
it's a
for
great
sure.
Way to
right? I'm it. Like, hey, like, I'm not going to be like, oh shit, my back hurts or whatever. Like, get up and go get adjusted, like chiro, whatever. Hoping to start working out soon too.
Yeah,
it's been three months.
I need to get into that.
Yeah, like.
I can't believe you have a 3-month-old.
I know. 2.0.
Mariana named her son the same name as my son, Oscar, but she cleared it with me first. She messaged me and said, would you be offended? And I said, no. With everybody else, yes. With you, I'd be honored.
So special. So thanks, babe. Thank you.
The Oscars.
Yes, exactly. The Oscar goes to, right?
You guys, congratulations.
Woo!
Okay, so last question. We'll do this question because Mariana already, we talked about all the having babies in your 40s.
Mm-hmm.
What is one goal you're actively working towards right now? And how do you plan to achieve it? Because I know you have goals. You're a goal setter.
And we know you have plans.
And oh my gosh.
We want to know so we can be inspired and have our own goals and plans.
My goal is to move to Portugal and eventually, definitely. I think that will be my goal. Retire, not in my 60s, maybe younger. I know this sounds so cliche, but definitely have a better work-life balance doing what we do. It's been a blessing because we do have a better work-life balance than I think if I was to be in corporate settings still. Because I tried the corporate,
You left the bank. I knew you in that time. You were very stressed in that time.
Yeah. Like that
You're
was
so happy now.
Oh my gosh. And you know what? It was a decision that like my parents did not agree with at all. And you know, being a good daughter, I always kind of like wanted to take their advice and this was not you know, this was not something they were fans of, but now they definitely appreciate it. So yeah, being self-employed, I think you definitely can find a better balance. Yes, you work nights. Yes, you work weekends.
Yeah, that's its own commitment. It's not for everybody. Totally. But yeah.
And if your heart's in it, it doesn't really feel like work.
Yeah.
Like you're kind of excited to pop
your
laptop.
You're so right. And that's why I have so much fun doing what I do. Because I actually enjoy it.
You can tell though that it radiates off you.
Yeah. Like you can tell you're having fun. And it's like, I want to have fun with you. Let's go. Let's go.
That's why Hess says we can't afford.
But we're not gonna wear heels, okay?
No.
We're not gonna prance around in heels.
No, we're gonna wear sneakers and lightly wear tinted Converse. Sunglasses.
Sorry, I keep kicking you under the table. Well, that's sorry. Okay. I'm playing footsies. But in terms of goals, I mean, definitely be healthy. Yeah. You know. Get into more of like healthier, like prepare more food. And I mean, it's always something, right?
I think a lot of people are in that state right now of like putting themselves first and taking care of themselves because they're really seeing how impacted they are by the world around them and everything.
Totally.
Yeah. And the work life balance for many is not very balanced at all. So.
Yes. And, you know, I think in North America, like it's kind of glorified that hustle bustle mentality, right?
And like culture.
And if you're not hustling, you're lazy, right? Yeah. And I think
it's at what cost, no way. You know?
Rest is resistance.
Yeah.
And
resistance.
And rest is productive. Too.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, doing things efficiently, not just doing things, right? Like, and having a second kid now, I'm going to say it again. I think it's made me more efficient.
Yeah,
you guys saw,
oh my
you're
God,
like,
you were on time today.
Holy moly,
yeah.
Right? Like, I have no choice,
for the
babe.
First time
I
ever.
Know. This was the latest person.
Invite me
I
for
knew.
Drinks.
God
I'll
bless.
Show up like later. But yeah, like, goals, live a happy life, man. Happy life.
Forget yeah, to Portugal one day.
We'll move to Portugal.
Love Portugal.
Move to Portugal. I'm not going to tell you where because everybody's going to go.
Okay.
There's a special spot.
Tell us off the air.
Yeah. I will tell you guys off the air. And yeah, just to enjoy my kids and very simple, like nothing grand.
Those are the
grand,
things,
you know?
Though. At the end of the day, it's like on your deathbed, you're not going to be thinking about your fucking real estate houses. Maybe you will, actually. Yeah. I don't fucking know. But
I'm so happy that I sold all those houses. Goodbye, everybody.
You know what? Totally. You're welcome, everyone.
Yeah, I have nothing left to say. See
that
you later.
Was my favorite. Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay, this was the best.
This episode was awesome.
We loved having you so much. Where can people find you online?
Oh, it's very easy to find me. Just search for The Wolf of King Street at The Wolf of King Street ST. Mariana Yordanova.
Mariana.
Fucking Mariana Yordanova, that's me.
Did Anthony give you The Wolf of King Street?
Oh my gosh, yes, he did. This was such a joke, right?
Longtime partner.
Oh my gosh, Diney.
Diney served that name up, and Mariana's like, that's gold.
Oh, holy shit. That was so, it was one of those moments. But then, do you remember?
She expanded past King Street, though.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely expanded past King Street. But the funniest thing was I started seeing the Wolf of Waterloo, the Wolf of all kinds of wolves.
Well, and
I was the first one after the Wall Street.
A flattery is the biggest. What is it?
Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery.
Like all the rebels. Yes. Things that spun off and we got
right,
super
guys?
Annoyed. We're like, oh, everybody's a rebel now.
Yeah.
You know what?
You
see that
your
stuff.
Shit.
Yeah, you see that stuff everywhere, right? Like
it's crazy.
But it is what it is. But I'll leave you with one thought a friend of mine gave me today. Because I was like, hey, what should I talk about in the podcast?
They're like, I bet they're gonna ask you questions.
She was like, just a thought. You can have it all. But not all at the same time.
Oh, I love that.
And I was like, oh man, like this is so, so beautiful, right?
Yeah.
So that's what
one
I want.
One thing at a time.
Yes. Mm. You can have it all, but not all at once.
Yes.
I love it.
Okay.
Love you guys.
Love you too. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you all for listening. As always, we would love it if you would like, rate, and review this podcast wherever you listen. And feel free to share it with a friend who you think would enjoy it.
Everybody should listen to this episode.
Thank you very much.
This podcast was produced by Space Monkey inside the Soda Studio. The song you're listening to is called Name and Number off the debut album Unrequited by Roshan. Stream it now on Apple Music.